You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. The floods have stopped. The sun is shining.
Yeah. No, it's nice. It's kind of nice to have a bit of variety. It always gets a bit overwhelming when the weather's just a bit too kind of constant, I suppose.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot of water. A lot of dumping.
Definitely.
Now, I was just thinking, if we had been clever, we could have brought in our, quote, instrument, unquote, for this week. But I don't know how.
Auto-tune?
Yeah, so we're doing auto-tune. So, yeah, we could have, like, figured out how to do it or something, because don't some people's phones do it?
Maybe. I actually have no idea how you would do it through a phone. I just know that there's specific microphones that have that, like, auto-tune filter.
Yeah. So it's not technically an instrument, right, in the conventional way, but on the other hand, it is has a particular sound. Mm. It's used a lot in pop music, and we can hear it. And apparently it's everywhere. Apparently, probably not so much on this radio station, but on other radio stations, let's say 90 plus of everything is using it.
It is everywhere. And I think, yeah, we don't tend to notice it sometimes. I know that, because who was the most prominent user of autotune? What's his name?
T-Pain.
And then Kanye kind of, Cher, you're right.
Yeah. So Cher's was supposedly the first one. So we're talking about quite a newish thing, and that was 1998. And then Daft Punk One More Time was another big one. But those were obvious. So it was created, here's the weird thing, by a geophysicist.
Whoa.
And because it's a sound wave thing, and it was created to just tune up singers. You know, it wasn't supposed to cover bad singers. It was supposed to be, so, you know, some of you probably know, when you go record a song, you record your singing track separately from the instruments that are already recorded. And you can make up to hundreds of takes to try to get it right. And so the idea is, say you get a take that has the attack good, the breathing's good, you got the words right, you got the emotion right, but you got one or two notes out of tune. It'll just tune it up to where it guesses through, you know, by matching the sound waves of what else is going on. So it wasn't meant to sort of completely make a bad singer palatable. It was meant for, you know, good singers who, of course, always make mistakes to sort of, you know, just slow down the length of that time that it can take, you know, to get the right take, you know, because sometimes people can take days and days, you know, on a single line because you just don't get all bits of it right. So there's the subtle use of it, whereas, you know, you're just correcting one or two notes. Mm. There's the overuse of it, which I guess some people think would be you're a terrible singer and this is covering it. But then there's the weird use where you want it to be noticed and you want that robot sound.
Yeah, Daft Punk, I think, kind of uses I don't know if it is autotune, but they use it definitely a filter.
Yeah. And so it's like that, you know, how, you know, people will create something and then musicians will use it for something it wasn't exactly intended for. So now people like say, I like that robot voice. It's fun or it's different or it's, you know, futuristic, or I like to play with it because you can sing one thing and then the notes can be doing another. So some people remember, actually, we should probably do a separate show on it, the vocoder. So, you know, people do like to play with filters on voices, you know, and getting interesting and fun sounds. And so I think most of the songs we're playing today are like super obvious ones because, you know, while it might be on most of the music, you know, we don't know exactly, but these are ones that are so obvious that it's a real part of the sound. It's like they're playing with a new instrument and just sort of playing with all the different textures and things it can do.
Well, I wonder if, because, I mean, the way to use autotune is through your voice. I wonder if they have to maybe think a little bit more about how they actually sing when, like, funneling it through the autotune. I don't know if maybe there's, like some people actually take up certain types of techniques when... I don't know.
If you want to get a more robotic tone, if you don't want it, if you want a contrast between what you sang and what it's going to tune you up to, you know, so normally, you know, you'd sing a note and it would only be a tiny bit off tune. And that's why it could tell with the wave generator and it will just slightly move you to the tune. But whether you want something really contrasty. And so, yeah, so there's all sorts of fun plays with it. And we'll hear it in some of these songs that they're obviously, they're not doing it to make their voice, you know, they're singing in tune. They're doing it to play with this ghostly, robot-y sound.
So who are we going to be looking at first?
Well, the first one is Bon Iver.
Shall we listen to him?
Yeah. I'm up in the woods.
still to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods, I'm down on my mind, I'm building a still to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods, I'm down on my mind, I'm building a still to slow down the time. I'm up in the woods, I'm down on my mind, I'm building a still to slow down the time. I'm up in down on my land, I'm building a still to slow down the time.
So, I mean, I really like it. I think there's something kind of crazy about how robotic it is, but it kind of has this human quality. But Alice, it freaks you out a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't know what it is. It's not always, but sometimes it just gives me kind of the creeps a little bit.
Like, you've read too much science fiction about the robots taking over the world.
Quite possibly. I feel, yeah, I don't know what it is. Just sometimes it just, yeah, I get a little bit, ooh.
I know, I can see it.
Well, and what's interesting about that track and some of the others we're hearing is that it's something so robotic, but humans are still able to make it human. You know, like he's able to, you know, have that sort of harmony and choir. And, you know, because when synthesizers were invented, everyone was like, that's it. We're all going to sound like robots. But somehow they made them funky and fun. Like humans have that way of injecting humanism and problems and randomness into everything we do. Now, I said that we didn't bring one in the studio, but apparently you can try it at home by just singing into the fan.
Yes.
If wow. you want to have your own cheap vocorder, you can sing into the fan with your friends and pretend you have a vocorder. I read another thing that said it's Photoshop for the voice. But so you can tell, say Photoshop again, you can use it to correct, or you can use it for just creativity and altering and remixing and all sorts of different things. And the interesting thing is you can use it in the studio, but you can also use it live. So those of you who play guitar will know you have an electric guitar, and you can also, before it goes into where it's ultimately going, you can plug it through pedals. And guitar pedals have a big giant button that you can step on with your foot. So
that's
this
pretty
is
pretty fun.
Well, that's right. You look really cool. You know, you look down, you step on your pedal, get any sound. So this is similar to an effects pedal in that your voice goes through it, or, you know, when you have it on the computer. So people can use it live as well, which is quite handy if you're feeling croaky or groggy. And it's actually an auto processor. So, you know, okay. You know how we've had our little phrases for all the instruments we've used, orchestra in your pocket. This is an auto processor. And the other big part of its history, so we have Cher, like you talked about, and then there was a big backlash against it in the later 2000s, like Jay-Z's got a song, Death of Auto-Tune, and apparently there was protests at the Grammys by Death Cab for Cutie. But in 2010 is the beginning of autotune being used sort of for weird internet meme songs.
Right.
So it's the hide your wife, hide your kids guy that, you know, so this was a real person talking about a real crime and real news. And then people auto-tune it and put a beat on it. And so that's another weird use of it. And it's used all the time for that now, for memes and crazy remixes of real people responding to tragedy.
Gosh.
So such a weird, funny history for this little changing thing. Again, not probably what was intended, and all sorts of interesting uses. So we've got another interesting, you know, use of it by James Blank.
More choppy. I like it. His production is always incredible.
Yeah, and so you can tell he's trying to get the warbling, you know, singing one note and then trying to make it go up and down, up and down quickly.
It's not as, like, dominant, the auto-tune. It kind of just is this, like, tonal kind of aspect that lingers in the background. Yeah, I like it.
Now, the other really big thing it's used for at the moment is modern hip-hop, like, especially just the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, Kanye has been really strong using it, and T-Pain. And T-Pain, I guess, was sort of the head of the wave of this Southern hip-hop. But now everybody uses it. You know, rappers like, you know, Future and the Panda Song by Designer and Lil Yachty, and now even Drake. You know, it's a really core part of the sort of latest wave of hip-hop sound. And so it's not necessarily about correcting bad singing. I mean, who's to say, you know, whether the singing's good or bad, but it's about having this weird, false sound. You know, I was reading something that was talking about even opera itself was sort of a false version of the human voice, you know, that it was unusual and you had to work towards. So we're always obsessed with just sort of play about it. But yeah, so, to, you know, hip hop from the last 4 or 5 years, especially from the South, they love it. And yeah, some people will put it down and laugh at it. But it's obviously a sound that...
I think it depends on how it's used as to whether it should be laughed at, I suppose. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, there is, like, a ridiculousness to it. So I suppose it's how somebody takes it and then pushes it through their music. And some people want you to kind of laugh along and be like, yeah, this is actually really ridiculous, but... You know.
Well, and you can read, you know, academic things into it about, you know, the future of Borgs and robotics and humans versus, you know, technology and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, right now I think it's play, it's interest, you know, if you can, you know, have funny and cool apps on your phones that can make your voice sound different.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think it's anything super sinister yet. But there's also that thing online where supposedly it's Britney Spears' real track for the song without auto-tune, and it sounds terrible.
Really?
But, you know, then her producer said, you know, that was just a first take. It was early in the morning, but it is pretty bad. So is that, I guess that's why some people don't like it. They feel like they're being duped, like that all along she can't really sing. But let's let's just say everything you listen to, except for possibly MBFM or sort of punk or indie, has got it. Mm. And so people just have to decide whether they're being duped or it's just people playing, you know, with really interesting sonic textures. So the last track we're listening to is MIA. So she doesn't use it overtly all the time, but this is a song where she does overtly.
Cool. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for coming in this morning and talking about autotune. We're going to listen to MIA $20.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.